Okay, here's an experience to challenge the limits of radio. There's a sound, but it's undefinable. There's a text, but it's familiar. It begins like this. Alice was beginning to get very tired of sitting by her sister on the bank and of having nothing to do. There are illustrations, but they almost defy description. The experience we're talking about is the amazing, incredible, three-dimensional world of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, as envisioned by pop-up artist Robert Sabuda. Now, although we're all familiar with Alice's descent down to the rabbit hole and the adventures that she found there, once you see Robert Sabuda's version, your vision of Wonderland is forever solidified into that three-dimensional form. Robert Sabuda joins us in our studio. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, we have to explain this to people. This is when we say you're a pop-up artist and this is a pop-up book, you've taken Alice in Wonderland, and let me get you to tell that in your own words.
Well, I've always loved the story of Alice in Wonderland because the adults are so mean. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but when I read it as a boy, I thought, these adults in this book are so mean to her. So when I became an adult and was working in pop-up books, I thought I wanted to really revisit that and sort of get on Alice's side when all those adults came at her at that time. So I started working in three dimensions. I cut with paper and I tape things together and I glue and I just build these sort of enormous kind of constructions that just, you know, pop out of the pages as soon as you turn each page.
Turn the first page, the tree pops out about 8 inches. I mean, a youngster opening the book would get hit quite agreeably in his or her little nose, wouldn't
they? Yes. And that's what I want. I want it to pop up big. I want it to be exciting. I think that so many books that young people get today, they may not necessarily be interested in them because there's so many things around them that bombard them already. Yeah. Television and the computers now and video games. When I was a boy, I just had books, you know what I mean? And if it takes this kind of work, this kind of media, this kind of three-dimensional wow moment to bring kids back to books and back to classical books, I want to be a part of that, and I want to contribute to that.
Tell us a little something about how you conceive of a story once you're determined to turn something into a pop-up book. You look for what pops up best, or...
Well, for a book that's a classic that I'm sort of revisiting for younger readers, I try to think of the most pivotal moments in the story and what kind of visual importance they can have, or moments that I remember. Like there's a moment in Alice where she's holding this baby and it turns into a pig, and that pig baby moment was so unusual to me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that I included it in the book. So there's the moment here with the Duchess with the baby and the pig baby. So a lot of it was making sure that the story could be told visually, but also those moments that really affected me when I read the book when I was a boy.
And how are they produced? You know?
Pop-up books are all manufactured by hand. Someone actually folds each pop-up and glues all the pieces in for every single book, which is really one of the last things made by hand in the world of books and in the world of art. So it's a wonderful experience. It really comes from my hands designing it to their hands building it and putting it together to your hands and enjoying it here or anyone else's hands.
Let me just flip open. Oh, my gosh. I just might have turned into what I think our experience here has been just about everybody's favorite page.
Yes.
How do we describe this? Alice with her hands in the air.
Yes.
With cards literally spinning around.
A flurry of actually two decks of playing cards, because I knew that there'd be some third grader out there who's going to come to one of my events and say, are there exactly two decks of cards in that last pop-up? And I would say, yes, there's two decks of cards there in that spread.
So this is literally 104 cards that you've illustrated.
It really is. And I made sure that there were all the right suits on it. Like, there's the right number of queens and the right number of kings and the right number of, you know, twos and threes and all that.
Now, we referred... what is the term of art we use for this? Not illustrated, per se, but...
The term...
Popped, or...?
The term paper engineer has been bandied around for many years, and it's kind of a fancy technical term. I don't have a degree in engineering or anything, but it sort of fits, because you have to get the paper to engineer. It has to obey some certain laws of physics, and I know nothing about physics or math, but paper engineer is what a lot of people use. But today, for myself, because I do picture books, I write and illustrate picture books and make pop-up books, I just call myself a bookmaker. It goes back, you know, books go back so far in our lives. I just prefer the term children's bookmaker.
What did you grow up wanting to do?
I always knew I would be an artist. Mm-hmm. I feel so fortunate now in my adult life that I can say, I was going to be this, and I wanted to be that, and I thought I'd be this. I'm not from a family of artists, but from a very early age I drew, and it was just sort of a given that eventually my path would take me onto the path of an artist.
But when you were a kid, did you finish drawing something and then take out a pair of scissors and say, no, I'm going to make it move?
Oh, yes, I did. My mother was a secretary at Ford Motor Company. And
so this must have been like Dearborn.
She worked in the personnel department, and there was no such thing as cardstock then. So my mother worked in the personnel department, and she would bring home manila filing folders of people who'd been fired. And then I would cut those and make those into pop-ups because it was the perfect weight to make a pop-up with. So, I explored everything when I was a kid. I made all kinds of art, all kinds of books.
Have you ever had an idea and tried to bring it about and it just hasn't worked? I mean, of the pop-up book variety.
Wow. Most of the pop-ups that I create or the ideas that are behind them, I'm happy to say, are usually a success in some format. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, my initial process may not be successful getting to that end result, but I'll find my way around it. I can find... It's important to look at a problem from many different angles and different facets. So mm-hmm. if I can see what I want at the end, there may be different routes to get there. But by no means mm-hmm. Do I want you to think there aren't failures, because there are many times when this approach doesn't work and I have to abandon it. I have to move on to something else. But now, after working in the field for several years, I've learned a lot. I've learned what the paper will do and to make the paper obey.
You've brought some paper and looks like a pair of scissors in the studio.
I have. I brought some cardstock, just simple white cardstock. And you can also make pop-ups with construction paper if you're going to make pop-ups with kids, or if you're an adult and you're interested in making pop-ups, construction paper is a perfect weight for that. So the pop-up I'm going to show you here is one of the most popular ones you can make. I take the piece of cardstock and I fold it in half. I crease it with my finger and my thumb. Mm-hmm. Creasing it makes the fiber really loose, so you can make it into a nice simple card. Opens and closes like a card. Then I draw a simple line right down the center. The fold is at the bottom of the card. And then I take my scissor and I cut along the fold. Right about halfway up of the card. Now I fold back the left side into a triangle. Mm-hmm. And I fold back the right side into a triangle. So I really get like two simple triangles. This is called a V-fold pop-up, and the reason why it's called a V-fold is because it makes Vs. So I fold back those triangles, fold them back to where they were. I open up the pop-up like a tent. I open it up, open the card halfway up. Then I push the triangles that were on the outside to the inside. Push in one at the bottom. I'll push in one at the top.
My word.
And the pop-up begins to form.
Yeah.
Close it. Close it up. And you get a very simple, very, very simple, crease it, and a very simple mouth that opens and closes.
Yes.
You can make this into a million different things if you want to. Kids love this. They can make it into a frog.
Duck's mouth.
It can be a duck's mouth, and you can go a little bit further, cutting on one of the folds again. I just make one simple cut. Of course, since it looks like a mouth, I think maybe it needs some eyes. Mm-hmm. So I'll make another little V-fold. We'll make two V-folds for the eyes. So I made a cut at the bottom, and I'm folding these back, left and the right, and I turn it over. So I'll push back my little triangles, push everything back, open the card up like a tent again, and push those little triangles to the inside. We'll do the left eye, and then we'll do the right eye, and we'll close our card down. Close it, crease it. Fingers are great for creasing. You don't need any fancy tools to make a pop-up. Your fingers are the best tools you have. And now our mouth.
Turn that around to the control room.
So you can make this into many things. Kids, like I said, kids love to make it into frogs. I usually make this into an alien, but it's just two cuts and some simple folding. And what's great about it is you don't have to draw anything perfect. You don't have to use a ruler. You don't have to use a protractor, which I don't even know how to use. You can just use some simple cuts and some simple folds will make really a terrific pop-up.
Mr. Sabuda, thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Robert Sabuda, illustrator and paper engineer, most recently of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, a pop-up adaptation of that classic story by Lewis Carroll. If you want instructions on how to make your own pop-up or more information on Robert Sabuda, you can come to our website, npr.org. Bet you were wondering when you're going to hear the theme. This is Weekend Edition, directed by Sarah in Wonderland, by R. Kelly, produced by Charlie Merritt, McNulty, Darcy Bacon, Bridget McCarthy, Janaea Williams, Teal Kresh, Julia Holmes-Bailey, and Lauren Spohr. NPR producer Amy Walters is in Sacramento to be closer to Vlade Divac. Our editor this week is Cindy Johnston. Our technical director is Burke Hunt, so ably assisted by Ted Mebane, Sherry Marshevsky, Johnny Vince Evans, and Chris Nelson. Our librarians, Kim Oleski, Alphonse Veen, Ann Moffat, Dan Onstead, and Robert Goldstein. Goodbye and thanks to our reference librarian intern, Kelly Robinson. Our senior editor is Gwendolyn Tompkins, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition Saturday is Peter Breslow. I'm Scott Simon.